right. Sounds like that's where he is.
What's up, dude? I'm there. I'm here.
Yep. Well,
how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Just kind of laughing at the news with old Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What a perfect day to record a show.
Oh, I know. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, man.
I guess we know what we're talking about.
So much going on now. Oh, yeah. And it wasn't too much longer after that than the whole, this will be the most important election of our lifetimes now, boys.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, if it hasn't intensified before, now it's for sure. Oh.
So I've got dogs in the background. I'm going to do my best to mute my mic.
Okay.
Whenever they start being stupid.
Well, that's okay.
When I say stupid, I mean, you know, good doggies, because that's what they do. But yeah. You know, they get loud and they bark and they have fun and they don't understand that we're doing a show over here. You know what I mean?
Nope. That's all foreign. You might as well be just talking gibberish to them. You could have like a red on-air light, but, you know, they can't see color. So.
And I have dachshunds. So they're like, they think they're.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're hound. You know, dachshunds are like just small, like long hound dogs, you know, so they howl.
Right.
At each other. So, you know, it's fun.
It's not the first dogs that have ever just broken up onto my podcast before. So my miniature poodle has done it. Allie Jill's Great Dane Juno started barking at the FedEx guy. So I've had a whole host of dog cameos on the show.
That's awesome. Well, my wife just put him outside. So we'll see how long.
So yeah, it's like 9 o'clock over here. So, the dogs have asked to go out like 4 times in the last hour, so they get ridiculous. And I teach my dogs to focus train, so they look at me when they want something, and they burn a hole right through your eyeballs while doing it. It was so fun. It's like, I'm staring at you now. I now want something. I go to the other room, dog.
Right on. Right on. Ready. So you're in Baton Rouge? Is that where you're at?
Yep. Good old Red Stick, Louisiana.
Yeah, you're Red Stick. Yeah. Okay. That's what Gumbo call. I have family. I don't know if they still live there. They did for a while. I have basically my uncle and all of his kids all went to LSU.
And, go Tigers.
And then of course a couple of them stuck around. So I think I still have a cousin or two over there in that part of the country.
Right on.
So yeah.
It's always nice to know people.
Well, we're not super close because, you know, that same family is in Atlanta too, and then Sacramento as well. So we're spread all over the place, man. Yeah. I think I got people up all over. I don't even know anymore. And then, of course, we're out here in Honolulu, right? So
yeah,
it just shows you how spread out we are.
It's very spread out as far as the globe goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got family over in Lafayette, Louisiana. I've got family over here. A whole bunch up in Iowa and Nebraska, some out west in Nevada. So it's we're kind of all over the place.
Nevada, see, I got family in Reno also, the same line.
Yeah, there you go, Reno. Yeah, I used to live there for a long time. Actually, the world's largest trailer park called Sun Valley, right outside of Reno.
That's the world's largest trailer park?
Oh, dude, it's like streets and streets and streets, nothing but trailers. That's kind of like the joke. We just call it the world's largest trailer park.
That's kind of funny. Kind of funny.
It was like that in the 80s, and every now and then I'll get curious and check on the old Google Maps, and like not a whole lot of subdivisions have been built out there, so it's still just nothing but trailers.
So are you like Reno proper, like Sparks or what?
Yeah, the Sun Valley was like right on the north edge, so it was just right outside of town. It's like downtown maybe 10 minutes away. So
I grew up in Sacramento. And, but, you know, born and raised basically in that whole area. And then right around high school, we decided we were going to run up to Reno and try our hand at some gambling. Yep. Got into the casinos. And, you know, they let you spend money when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't let you, they don't let you win money.
Yeah.
So when you start winning, they show you where the door is, you know. And, you know, when you're 17 years old and stupid, you don't realize what the game is. You're like, oh, they caught me. Let me try the next one to see if I can get away with it. You know,
it's like, no.
And they catch you as soon as you walk in the door.
Yeah.
You know, but they're going to let you, you know, buy chips. They're going to let you go to the tables. They're going to let you play the machines.
That's right.
But as soon as you start maybe making a little bit of money, they just run you out. Nope. Sorry. You're underage. You got to go.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. They'll let you get down like a good $100 and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, well, we got something out of them. So. Yeah, it's really hilarious how quickly the casino security systems are all up your ass the moment you're walking the door.
Yep. Yeah, and you realize that now, right? Like, as an adult, you look back on that and go, those guys saw me coming a mile away. Oh, they knew exactly who I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got a family member who actually does security work at the one of the casinos here in Baton Rouge. And, he knows quite a bit. He's like, oh, my favorite are the guys who come in and think they can count cards. And, you know, then we'll do some funny business with the decks and just really mess with them. That's always fun.
Yeah. Could you imagine, though, like thinking you're getting over on the house and then all of a sudden your whole scheme just falls apart?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, next thing you know, the old grandma sits down at the table, and what you don't know is she's in on it.
Yep. She's an employee. Yeah. Dude, I have a funny story about it. I got kicked out of a casino in San Diego, one of the Indian casinos out in the desert.
Oh, no.
And I think, I'm pretty sure, it's been almost, it's 15, almost 20 years, right? So they probably, I'm probably good to go back. I in San Diego, right? But I was playing poker and I threatened one of the people at the table.
Oh no.
And they pulled my chips and said, you gotta go. They took a picture of me, they posted it on the wall, not welcome back in here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a funny story. I had just seen Joe Dirt, right?
Oh no.
And so the lady at the table, her name was Coco, and she was blind in one eye. And, she had that grayed over dead eye, right? Like,
yeah,
how do you describe it, right? So she got me on tilt, dude. She was in my head and messing with me, scrambling my brains all up. And I said, Coco, one more word out of you, and I'm going to stab you in your good eye with a soldering iron.
Oh, no.
And that was it, dude. They took my chips. Yeah. I didn't have a soldering iron.
Where did that
come from? Yeah. I don't know. But I just saw Joe Dirt and it was in my head, Like I'm not at a table with a soldering iron, right? Like it was an empty threat, but yeah, she was inside my head kicking things around, dude. And
she got you
and she got me. I was gone. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. The only time I've ever been escorted from the premises was when I grabbed a dealer at a blackjack table, grabbed his wrist because we were pushed on a 17. And he went and started to grab my chips. And I grabbed him by the wrist. I was like, no, we pushed. Those chips stay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we essentially tied. And that was it. Well,
I mean, how'd that go down?
They let me cash my chips out, and then they walked me out of the building. And that was it. They said, yeah, don't come back. Can't put your hands on the dealer. I was like, well, damn it.
Well, I mean, he was wrong.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. I don't know. Might have got talking to, might have got fired. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I haven't been back. I'm not going to test the fate.
Yeah. I've not played cards in a while. It's been a long time. It's probably better that way.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Anytime that we play, it's like the penny ante, like family game type stuff. You know,
I taught my daughter how to play poker and she's actually, I should say what I haven't played cards outside of my house in a while.
Yeah.
But I've taught my daughter how to play poker and she's actually enjoying it. I think she's pretty good. She's what, 16 now, and she knows all the rules and
all right.
Knows how to do some stuff. So, I mean, a little bit of time, she might be dangerous.
Especially teach her how to get inside somebody else's head.
Oh, yeah.
And then she too can be threatened with a soldering iron.
I'm serious. Like, where did that come from? I just seen Joe Dirt, and that whole like Christopher Walken character.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking to my man all wrong. Yeah. Why did that come out of my mouth right then? I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes the mouth just starts flapping before you even realize what you even say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Although if you would have done it in Christopher Walken's voice, I guess that would have been.
I wish I was better at like that kind of stuff. You know, the impersonations or whatever. I wish I was good at that stuff. I'm just not. I can barely speak in my own voice.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I always give everybody the warning. My celebrity impressions are poor. They're very bad. Don't listen to them. Although I can do a pretty good Christopher Walken, but I actually got some funny stories about old Chris. So Baton Rouge has like a whole bunch of sound stages. And I know some people that that work over there. And apparently Christopher Walken's shtick is the first day that he's on set, it's his birthday. It doesn't matter what day it is. It's his birthday. So this guy had worked with him before, and he goes, it's not your birthday, Chris. What are you doing? He goes, I like birthday cake. So they go and get him a birthday cake with candles and everything. That guy is weird.
So that's his whole stick. He first day on, and of course, if you've been in the business for a while,
you probably know.
Here comes Christopher Walken. I guess we better get some birthday cake ready to go.
Get some birthday cake candles. We're gonna sing happy birthday. Yeah. He's just the weirdest guy of all time.
Why not, man? Why not? Weird. I mean, there's nothing wrong with weird.
Nah, I mean,
People remember you and you're weird.
That's for sure. We all remember the story of Christopher Walken first day on set. Asked for birthday cake. That's always fun. But we all know who's not getting any more birthday cake anymore. That's Ruth
Bader Ginsburg. Oh, yeah, dude. He's done. Have you seen the memes?
Oh, already? I know. They've started. It's like people have been, waiting on this for a whole year. And we've been making nothing but jokes.
I believe some of these are definitely preloaded. They've had these for years, I'm sure. Some of them, because they're just so hot.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I have like a whole bunch saved special in a folder. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Death Watch. So
my kid
might have to move those out.
Are you even a little bit ashamed? You know?
Oh, that we're kind of laughing at the death of an elderly person?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for my conscience to kick in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that. And it hasn't kicked in yet. And that kind of disturbs me a little bit. You know?
I think what it is because we've been pretty much expecting this for, 2 years now?
A while, yeah.
Yeah, so the last time I saw her in public, she was already, napping and didn't really know where she was. And so you kind of look at it, it was like, oh, yeah, she's about to die.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So my wife, she, looked at me like I was the worst person in the world because I immediately turned to her. Because, I've been on house arrest, right? Quarantine, I guess. And so I immediately turned to her from the computer where I've been working remotely from, and I said, hey, with a smile from ear to ear, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, looked at me like, you're a horrible human being for smiling, and she's right. I mean, cause I shouldn't have, but it's like, it's like one of these big, big public figures that, there's a lot going on here. And if you're any kind of like a libertarian minded person, and you've been paying attention to anything, you know what's coming next.
Oh yeah.
We are already burning some cities to the ground.
Yeah.
And now this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, here we go. And I don't know. I don't know if for me out here in Hawaii is like they are officially a May issue state for concealed carry permits. Like nobody has a concealed carry permit. It's
yeah.
functionally a will not issue. They will not issue you a concealed carry permit in this state.
Not even for a sizable donation to somebody's campaign.
Bro, no, not even.
You're not even bribing. Okay.
Yeah, dude, it's weird because we actually have a lawsuit going in the Ninth Circuit Court in California. Has sided with. It's a big old. So Young versus the state of Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And it's a case where there's a guy from the Big Island who was trying to get his concealed carry permit. They said no, and so he said, "Okay, I want to open carry." They said no, and well, of course, because that's what they always say, right? That's just kind of the.
Right.
And so he took it to court, and so now it's at the Ninth Circuit level, and they initially sided with him, saying that Hawaii's gun laws are unconstitutional, specifically the concealed carry process.
Yeah.
And so now the state appealed it. And so they're hearing it again at the Ninth Circuit, but it's going to be the en banc. Instead of like a 3-judge panel, it's going to be a 10-judge panel. And so I'm telling my wife, I'm like, no matter what happens, that's going to the Supreme Court. Cause if they side with Young again, then the state will appeal and it'll eventually end up at the Supreme Court. If the state wins, then of course Young's going to appeal and it's going to go either way you look at it, it's going up. Yeah, right? It's
automatic appeal. No matter how you slice it.
So now here's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the people we knew that was going to side with, totalitarianism, right? Like, right. So so it was kind of like exciting. Like, I'm a gun guy. I like guns and I can't carry because I'm a Hawaii resident and I live here. And, but now that she's dead, there's a really good chance in the very near future that the states, you know, that the states, you know, concealed carry permit process is going to be deemed unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about that, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry she had to die for that to happen, you know?
Yeah. I was a little bit conflicted about this. I mean, it is an elderly person who just died, and I really shouldn't be, you know, smiling ear to ear about this, but I mean, just on her record alone, she was just an awful person. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's my one thing. It's like, okay, yeah, she was elderly, probably should have stepped down from the bench, you know, maybe 10 years ago. But
Hey, are you recording anything?
Oh yeah, no, we started recording the moment you got in the room. So
okay, good, because I'm like, oh, I'm looking at this going, I don't see any indicators that we're recording. Okay,
no, it's just recording on my side. They
okay, cool.
Yeah, Zoom is a little wonky sometimes. It'll just like record my laptop microphone for no apparent reason at all. So
okay,
yeah, but everybody in the audience, you can now drink. Somebody asked if we were recording, so.
Is that normal? Does that happen to you?
Yeah, that happened. That's happened a few times. Okay. We'll just get rolling, and about 10 minutes later, I was like,
awesome.
I didn't hit record, did you? And I was like, yeah.
So practice from a practical perspective, of course, like many others, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of government at all.
Yeah.
But since we're all forced to live within the confines of its dictates, I guess, it's kind of, from a Hawaii resident's perspective, I'm very interested in the Young versus the State of Hawaii case and where that's going for us. And seeing that eventually it's going to go to the Supreme Court, I'm sure. And then now we, one of the heavy hitters that was going to be going against the, you know, freedom is no longer a problem. And then what does that mean? Are they going to try and fast track somebody before November?
I think I saw something from Mitch McConnell saying whoever he puts out in front of the Senate, they're just going to approve him. So
that's going to be, so you think the crying is loud now. That's going to be exciting to watch.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I've often referred to all the government stuff as like professional wrestling. And I mean it, like it's all rigged.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it sure is entertaining, man. You know what I mean? Like I suspend disbelief just to watch the show. And this is going to be fun to watch, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. To quote Bill Pullman from the movie Independence Day, exciting is not a word I would choose to describe it.
Well, okay. Okay.
Yeah. We can sit there and I'm laughing about it. And it's just like, you know, laughing at the same time. And it's like, okay, do I have all my magazines loaded, plate carriers ready to go?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's interesting. It's definitely unique, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how this all goes.
Yeah, especially if they fast track somebody in there, and then if it's could you imagine if they put Bork up there just to like fuck with?
Oh, dude, I don't even know. You know, I know who. It doesn't even matter, right?
Yeah,
because I always have to say this. I'm not a Trump supporter. I've never been a big fan of his. Period. But I am entertained by some of the things that he does. It doesn't matter who he selects. It doesn't matter who they try to confirm. It's going to be the wrong guy.
Oh yeah,
right. Half of the country, it's going to be the wrong guy.
Yeah, no matter what.
So no matter what, it could hit even all the right wickets, like all the right. But because
Orange Trump Man,
Orange Man's behind it. It's the wrong guy, no matter what. So it's kind of fun. So it's just a fun time to be observing things.
Yeah, his selection could be like one step to the right of V.I. Lenin, and it still would be the wrong guy.
So. It'd be the wrong guy, yeah. Yeah.
Or gal, you know, or non-binary folk.
Yes.
You want to be all-inclusive.
I certainly didn't mean to, you know, to make this a non-inclusive statement when I said the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid.
You know, the general guy, you know, use guys. Yeah,
it's the non-gender. Was it the gender neutral version of guy?
Yeah,
yeah. I actually explained that to where I work today. I called somebody dude, and they said dudette. I said no, dude is gender neutral, and it works for non-binary people too.
Yeah,
dude is just dude.
Yeah, it's just dude. That's it.
Yeah. Incidentally, so is bro.
Yeah,
bro is also gender neutral.
Well, you're in Hawaii, so you also get the bruh every now and then.
Bruh, yeah. B-R-A-H, and then don't forget the B-R-U, bruh.
Bruh,
that one's in there too. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember growing up in Nevada playing the hacky sack, getting all the California leftovers.
Did Dude, the world needs more hacky sack.
Definitely. You want to talk about hand-foot coordination.
Just people hanging out, kicking a hacky sack. There just needs to be more of that. I don't know when the last time was. It was definitely, it's been a while, since I played it.
Yeah, and when you look outside now, you're definitely not seeing kids, kicking around a hacky sack. So,
did you ever punch? When you played, did you ever get punched?
Dude, we got frogged all the time.
Is that what that is, frog?
Yeah, frog is when you go to punch somebody, but you put your middle knuckle up, so you get that extra. Yeah, you want to try and get somewhere in between a muscle.
Dude, I was in high school learning how to play hacky sack, my freshman year, and I got in this circle with a bunch of cowboys, and maybe some of the parts of the country are going to listen to this and ask, what cowboys in California?
Right.
There were Northern California. Yeah. And there was some, and I wasn't good, and I didn't know the rules of the game. I'm just learning, but I got blasted, dude. I was black and blue from my shoulder to my elbow, both arms.
Oh yeah.
And, dude, so bad that I messed up and some guy came to hit me and I moved out of the way. And of course, if you flinch, it's it's worse. Cause then they get two hits.
Yeah. They get a free one. Yeah.
And he missed and hit the wall behind me.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh no. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just take the bruise.
I got smoked in the quad that day.
Yeah. I can imagine. Oh man. There was other fun games that we played that kids today would look and just say, no. The game Buck Buck, where you get you and a couple of your friends to hold each other on a pole, and then you try to jump on their back, and they have to act like a bucking horse.
I never played that.
Oh,
but I would have if it was a game that we played. I'm sure I would have played it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's if anybody wants to take a deep dive, just get onto YouTube and look up the game Buck Buck. And Buck. I mean, we scratched eyes, People getting clawed. It was not good.
No way.
Especially from an insurance standpoint. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. You'd be sent home.
Yeah. It's
you're a danger to yourself and others. Yeah.
Yeah. And then occasionally we would get the one person who got a little bit too rambunctious and jumped over the horse completely. So they either hit the pole or they just went straight to the ground. It was like, oh no.
I'm going
to
look that up. Buck Buck. I'm going to write it down first.
Yeah. Taking some notes on silly 80s childhood games.
We need more of them, man. We just do. We need more of them.
Yeah. Bring back lawn darts. They were fun.
Did you ever throw them at each other?
All the time.
I mean, what else are you going to do with them, right?
Yeah. Because, it had that blunt metal tip on it. It was just supposed to stick in the ground. But, we would wail them at each other.
We would get in a circle, throw them in the air.
Oh, and see who would stay there the longest?
And don't move.
Yes.
And if you moved, you lost. And if you got hit, you lost, right? So it was it was a game of chance and you could lose and it wasn't even your fault, right?
Such a self-own.
Yeah. So we would all circle up, real tight circle, throw it straight in the air, and then just stand there. And you think about all the stuff that could have gone wrong,
Yeah, I think it'll hit you right in the head, just in the perfect spot.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to explain that one to mom.
Of course, we did BB gun wars. We weren't smart. We shot each other with pellet guns. Did you ever do that?
Yeah. Benjamin, and we always had the rule. You can only do one pump on the Benjamin. You can't fill it all the way up.
Yeah, we had a two-pump rule, two-pump, no headshots. And the first rule only lasted as long as the second rule.
Yeah.
So if somebody got clipped in the ear or took one, on the forehead or something that.
Yeah. Then it was on.
It was over. It was over. Forget it. Yeah. That first rule's out the window. So we had two rules, two pumps, no headshots, but you accidentally get jacked in the dome and it was all over. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a friend of mine.
It's amazing. I survived childhood with all of my eyes or with both of my eyes.
Yeah.
Honestly,
Yeah. I got a friend of mine, right on the tip of his nose. With a BB gun, more or less.
That sounds like it would have stung.
Oh, he was in pain. He was in pain. One end of his nose was red, and then the spot that hit it was definitely, you could see the little welt from where the BBs just smacked him. And he had a nice little, just a deep red purple bruise all across his face.
I don't believe it.
For a week.
I did, my childhood, most of us probably are all the same. I think I was probably from age 5 to age 13, 12, 13. I think I was just in a constant mild state of concussion, you know?
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Maybe later.
No one listens when you say taxation.
These guys again. Not finding what you want in a podcast? Check out peacefreaks.com. Join Nikki P and Lizzie Picone every week with a brand new episode. Just going from one blackout to another.
Yeah, dude, just smashing my head on things all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of, that was like, we would play tackle football in the street. I'd bounce my head off of the concrete, right? Or I'd ride my bike and try and hit that jump a little bit faster than I should have and, you know, hit the telephone pole,
right?
You know, or something, right? Like, it's just constant. I think, I look back on that and I go, I do not know if I would have passed the NFL's concussion protocol, you know, like ever in my childhood from like age 5 to like age 12 or 13. Just constantly. It's like all foggy. You know, there's some good memories there, but like a lot of it's kind of like
just a blur.
Yeah, kind of. I don't remember all that, you know, like.
Yeah, I rode skateboards. I know exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's like not even good skateboards. We're talking crappy Kmart Blue Light Special skateboards and one little rock. I remember there was a time where I face planted right onto the concrete from the skateboard. My whole side of my face was all skinned up. It was god awful. And walking around. I'm just, you know, got scabs all over the place. You know, dad walking into the store and he'd turn around to say something. I would, you know, duck and say, not again.
My mom was scared that that CPS was going to come get me because I was always walking around with like black eyes and cuts and all that stuff. You know, from being a kid, you know, my parents didn't smack me around. I wasn't an abused kid or anything, but man, if you were to look at me through the lens of today, you would just assume that that I was, because I was constantly busted up over something, you know. But that's just what it was like being a kid, man. Yeah, that's
just being rough and tumble.
I think that's what we're missing a lot of right now, frankly. I sound so old when I say that. Oh.
Yeah, I'm 41. I definitely know. Yeah, it's like
I'm 43. Yeah, see, I'm 43. So yeah. Yeah, dude, we know. It's the same thing. 1989 earthquake, the 1989 World Series earthquake. I remember I was riding my skateboard home to catch the game and I fell off my skateboard and blasted my head right into the curb.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, where the sidewalk curves into the street kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I skipped my brain across that. And I didn't understand why that happened, because I generally, you know, you fall when you're doing tricks, but not when you're just kind of like rolling down the street to go home to watch the baseball game.
Yeah.
But I realize now that I fell because there was an earthquake going on, and we didn't usually get earthquakes in Sacramento. Yeah, we didn't get earthquakes in Sacramento.
Right.
And they didn't make it past the mountains, right? The Bay Area got earthquakes all the time, but it didn't make it into the valley very much, right?
Yeah.
But we sure felt that one, bro. and I mean, you remember the fallout from that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, was it one of the bridges collapsed? I think during that one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was. That one was a
part of the
one.
Golden. Yeah. No, not the Golden Gate Bridge. Part of the Oakland Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
Collapsed in on itself. Part of I-80, like the entire, like, because you know you go through the Bay Area and you have those double decker freeways, right?
Yeah.
And so parts of I-80 just like fell, like the top version, like just fell on top of the bottom floor.
Yeah. And imagine driving like, while that happens.
Yeah, they were, dude. My uncle, same uncle that went to LSU, right? It was in Novato at the time. And, this was before cell phones. Right. And that was he was coming home from work.
Yeah.
Like during that earthquake. And so we were like, well, is he dead? You know?
Yeah. And you don't know,
you know, I mean, and we didn't know. I mean, of course, you know, he showed up several hours later because, you know, imagine your commute on that day. Right.
Oh yeah. That's nothing.
And there was no, like there was no phones. And even if there were phones, like all the phone lines were busy, you know? I remember them constantly telling us, don't call anybody, keep the lines clear.
Yeah.
Trying to do all the, you know, I remember that day vividly. I mean, the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants were in the World Series.
Yeah. Living in Nevada was always kind of weird because we kind of knew when California got earthquakes, because sometimes we would feel the ground roll underneath our feet.
Really?
Yeah. And it was one day, I was just riding my bike up on a trail and felt the ground roll. And I got off because it made me sick to my stomach. I had to throw up. And some lady came outside. She goes, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just, you know, all of a sudden just got sick." And she goes, "Oh, no, it was probably a little side thing. California had an earthquake today." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. So how, so is it that funny? Like, so would there be an earthquake in, like, you know, the coastal part of California? We wouldn't feel it in the valley where I'm from, but you would feel it in Nevada?
Yeah. Wow. Sometimes I guess that's all crazy. Of the conditions had to be right. And we would just kind of feel it. And you don't really feel it like a rumble or a shake or anything. You just kind of feel like the ground just kind of roll underneath your foot.
Wow.
So you'd be standing and then, like, all of a sudden you'd just get dizzy real quick. You're like, "Oh, something's going on."
That's interesting.
Yeah. We even get them down here in Louisiana sometimes, but there's just so much mud and clay and everything. We don't feel it at the surface.
I want to move to Louisiana. I'm going to go kill I'm going to go kill alligators, man. I'm doing it.
That is always a fun experience. You got to convince somebody to get a couple of tags from them, but
So I've been watching that Swamp People show, and I'm convinced I'm going to grab gumbo. And we're going to go move, you know, he's from Southwest Louisiana. And, he's not sold yet, but I'm going to get him there. We're going to go buy some land and we're going to kill alligators. We're just going
to
do that.
Yep. There you go. Yeah. You can go down to Pierre Part and, or Bayou Pigeon and just get you some gator tags.
Yeah.
And then you'll be the only people on Swamp People that don't need closed captioning. Credits up
yeah
there.
Dude yeah. We can just yeah we'd be movie stars.
It's like, I can understand these people. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Of course, when I watch the show, I can understand everything that they're saying, and I was like, they don't need subtitles, because it was a time I would go down to Fouchon and we would buy shrimp and everything, and we would drive it up to St. Louis and just sell it out of the back of a truck. So
are they do a lot of people hunt alligators? Is that a common thing, or is that just something that, like, a very specific type of person does?
Yeah, you know? You need tags for that kind of thing. And so a lot of the people, they own land where the gators are going to, like, sun themselves up on the banks, or just are just going to be in, like, little canals and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you'll see them on the show. They have all those yellow tags, and they got to get that from Wildlife and Fisheries and everything for that. And I don't think it's on a lottery system anymore, because we've got a lot of gators down here. So
yeah, that's what the show, you know, you can't believe everything you see on TV, right? But, like, that's what they were saying on the show, is that the population of alligators is just exploding recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can get pretty big. I mean, anywhere from about 10 to 13 feet is usually what I've seen.
So. Wow. Big lizard.
Very big.
Yeah.
I was like, even the little small ones, you know, they'll give you pause. I've had one of those crawl up underneath the house once. And having to be, because, you know, the 16-year-old, because he's got a strong back and weak mind, he can get underneath there and go get that gator out from underneath there. It's like, no.
Oh, he was ready to go. He wanted to, huh?
Yeah. So I got up underneath there and helped the guy get the electrician's tape around his mouth and wrestle him out of there. And just even the little 4-foot ones, that's a lot to handle.
Well, they'll take a finger off, right?
Oh, 4-foot one would probably take your whole hand. Given the chance, you know, they weigh like 100 pounds for that small, but, you know, they've got the strength of like 5 people. So
yeah, the jaws even, yeah. You know, the rest of the, I mean, everything you hear about them is it's all jaw power, right?
Yeah.
You know,
and the tails
take
too.
A chunk of you off.
Yeah. The tails.
And they'll just roll. And in doing that, it'll just twist whatever part that is clean off your body. Right.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And it's almost scary when you see the little babies. And, you know, I've seen them being fed before, and they'll throw like little pieces of chicken on them, and already at a baby, they'll grab a piece of chicken and start rolling in the water. It's like, man, come out of the egg just ready to kill.
Yeah. Well, some they're just designed, man. They're just well designed.
I mean, there's a reason why that is a living dinosaur and it's still among us. You know,
they're very well designed.
That's its apex, top of the line, evolved model right there. So
I want to do it. Maybe we'll come find you with us.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, that's the other thing down here is feral hogs, because they're all over the place. And then the thing that nobody expects, Nutri-Rat.
Is that like a beaver?
It is.
Kind
of? Yeah, kind of. It is a very large rat. So try to imagine a 30-pound rat.
No, thank you. I don't want to imagine that.
Yeah. people that go hunt them with dogs, they have to be careful with the dogs because the rats will mess up the dog because they'll get bit and scratched and everything else.
And they're not clean animals, right? So whatever it is, it's got you know, diseases or whatever, right? So,
yep, for the most part, you can eat them, but I've had Nutra before and it's pretty okay. So, not something I would want to eat every day, but you can get paid. You just bring the tails in and it used to be like $5 a tail. I don't know what it is now.
But so there's a bounty. Yeah.
Yeah. They're okay. Invasive species and they will just eat ground. And if you've got a house over one of their dens, it'll fall over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it just burrows and burrows until there's nothing left of the foundation. Yeah.
Right.
Or I guess you guys have a lot of houses that are up on stilts there because of what the floods and all that stuff.
Yeah. So there's no bedrock anywhere near surface. So a lot of times you'll see pier and beam houses. So then they'll just be kind of set up. And then some of the lower areas, you'll find a house up on stilts. Some of them are, you know, they can float for a good distance.
Build a house that can float?
Yeah, you see some of the houses up on stilts, they'll have inflatable pontoons underneath it. So if they think the water's going to get high enough, it's going to lift it off of that, off the stilts, then it'll float for a little bit.
That's not,
yeah, crazy.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a Dutch mastermind.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. That was like
That's awesome.
Yeah, just large inflatable pontoons. It's like one thing, you pull the ripcord and it just inflates itself.
So they just have like CO2 cartridges just ready to go?
Yeah.
They just pop it in or what?
Yeah, it's like some kind of ripcord thing and they'll just pull it and it just inflates in just a few seconds. And it's enough to hold the house up at least for a little bit, but pretty nuts.
Just for like a storm surge or something else like that that's coming through.
Right.
That's neat. That's interesting. Okay. Wow, never heard that.
Yeah, apparently the Dutch have also worked out stilts that raise and lower with the tides. So
the Dutch have been doing that for a while, right? Yeah. You know, those are the guys you want to learn from when it comes to building things at or below sea level.
Yeah, very true.
You know,
yeah. But yeah, Louisiana is kind of a fun place. So just hot.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. It's just interesting being in Hawaii. Like, I don't want to bash Hawaii too bad because I do really enjoy living here.
Yeah.
You know, of course the weather, you just can't beat it. You just can't beat the weather. It's awesome. You know, and the people are genuinely friendly. Like the whole aloha spirit is real. It's a real thing. It's not just something they do for tourists. I mean, it's everywhere.
Right.
But it's the politics are impossible. And the cost of living is challenging,
yeah,
to say the least. And I don't know, I don't know how much longer I don't have any plans to leave, but I don't know how much longer I can stay here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's kind of one of those things that you think you're moving to paradise when you go there, because I mean, we've all seen the pictures of it on TV and everything else.
And it is. And that's not just a postcard, man. It is really that nice. It really is. And I mean, like everywhere else, it's got some rough spots, some rough neighborhoods, but I mean, it really is that nice and beautiful. And the people really are that genuine, wholesome aloha. I mean, it's real, but it doesn't translate to the politics. I don't understand, you know, there's not a real understanding of what freedom is here, right? So, as for example, I'm on 14-day, this is my 14th day on quarantine.
Yeah.
I go to bed tonight. You know, under house arrest, I wake up tomorrow morning as their version of a free man. I get to go out and do what I want to do. But for 14 days, I've been stuck in my house and I enjoy my home. I'm not complaining about my home, but
yeah, you just don't want to be there under lock and key. I don't want to
be here for 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was that and being told that you have to stay home otherwise or else.
Yeah.
We're not quite to the level of Australia yet, but,
no. Well, they're getting there and, you know, and they have things in place here. I mean, we spent the first part of the conversation about how there's no concealed carry permits issued in Hawaii, you know, so they kind of already know that you're not really going to fight back.
Yeah. Very true.
And not that, you know, I say that not as like kind of an ultimatum or like a, you know, I'm not trying to like be violent or suggestive about violence, but I mean, where people are armed, people are polite.
Yeah.
Generally, you know,
yeah, that seems to be the case. And, you know, it's not that anybody doesn't have their point of no return. Yeah. You know, you push somebody long enough, at some point they are going to push you back. So I've often referred to it as a political brinksmanship. that I think Status like to play. It's like, let's see how far we can push them. And
that's good, because, and it's all incremental, right? So,
right.
So they push you to the brink and you say enough and you finally put up a wall and you fight back, and then they say, okay. And then they step back, right? Oh, we went too far. Sorry. We'll come back. And so they've gained two or three steps on you, and they take one back.
Right.
And then right when everybody settles back down, they push again, two or three more steps, and then they take one back, you know? And it's incremental, and it's brinksmanship. That's a good way of saying it. Yeah. Political brinksmanship.
And even if something like that does pop off, you're not going to be the good guy on their media. So
no, dude. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you look at every opportunity where somebody has had to defend themselves against somebody in a magic costume with a badge, and it doesn't matter what is occurring. Somebody's trying to defend themselves against somebody else. But if that other guy's got that costume and badge on, they can do no wrong.
Oh yeah.
It's weird, right? It's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, I guess unless it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I've played the Larkin Rose, when is it okay to shoot a cop, with some of the people around here, and you should see the looks on their face when they're trying to figure out the math to get around that problem. Mm. And I'll just, while I see them thinking about it, and I'm just going to say, okay, well, I'm going to give you a hint. The answer is not never. And then you can start seeing the smoke, and
you almost have to do that one at a time.
Yep.
You know, you can't do that to a group of people or even a pair.
Yeah.
You know, two or three people. It's you almost have to do that in the privacy and comfort of a one-on-one conversation, because have you ever seen that where you have a few statists together as you are rationalizing through their arguments and showing the flaws of their reason and logic, that it's not reason and it's not logic? They gang up, right? And they support each other because they can't lose the argument. But if you can take one of them away and just go off to the side and have a legitimate conversation with them and approach it, they start to see the flaw in their logic. But when they're grouped together, they can't. It's the hive mind.
Oh yeah,
is too strong. You know, interesting.
Yeah, the verbal equivalent of circling the wagons.
Mm-hmm. It is. And so, you know, early on in my conversion, is that a good word? Conversion to voluntarism. I was so pumped, like so many of us are, right? And I go and I talk to everybody. Oh yeah, this is great. Yeah, listen to me. I know everything, right? Of course I didn't, but I mean, like, you know, you're just jazzed up, right?
Yeah, you get excited.
And I still don't, right? Because there's always more to learn. And but early on, I realized that you cannot talk to a group of people. You know, you have to. It's got to be one on one, and that's what makes it so hard, because the indoctrination is so strong. You know,
yeah,
and the pressure to conform is so strong, whether they believe it or not, they realize it or not, you know.
Yeah, I have a taxation is theft sticker on my back of my car, and it has gotten me into trouble on so many occasions.
Really?
Oh yeah. People sometimes will see it, and I'll get the little honk, and I'll look, and people, you know, give me the thumbs up. And then there's the types that will wait until I stop somewhere so that they can get me out and tell me how much it isn't. And the last time this happened, I had a Department of Transportation guy. And he was like,
what about the roads? Did he hit you with that? What about the roads?
It was the very first thing. I was like, you're driving on the street. I was like, yeah. I didn't ask for the street to be built.
Yeah.
And I was like, and look at the street. Look at all the potholes. Yeah. Guess where there's not potholes? The Walmart parking lot. You do the math.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the argument that the argument that they have for it, you know, is legitimately one of their best arguments, is that, you know, somebody's got to build the roads, but it's a garbage argument, because there's an assumption that in a voluntary society we just wouldn't figure out how to get from point A to point B,
right?
Like, we just would never figure it out.
Yep.
How to non-violently, voluntarily, and with a degree of cooperation, find a mutually beneficial way to get from point A to point B. Like, that just would never happen.
Yeah. We just,
it's out of their mind. They don't even grasp that concept.
Yeah,
like, what?
Figure,
like,
that out. Yeah.
You could, they can't, like, and then the other argument too, that I like to say, is we don't even know if roads are the most efficient way to, you know, for us to be, you know, to, for transportation for us. Right.
Right.
you know, it's that whole behavior that's you know, that's oh man, why am I drawing a blank? I need more coffee. But you know, it's subsidized behavior is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Right. So the roads are there because they're paid for by taxation. So they're functionally, we say they're free, even though they're not, right? So free with quotes. And so it's subsidized behavior. And that's why we have cars, because we have subsidized roads, right? If you don't have subsidized roads, we don't even know if we need cars anymore. We don't even know.
Right.
We've held the technological advance back because we have subsidized roads.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. I mean, we all know. We can sit here and talk about how old and out of date and, you know, the internal combustion engine is. Like, it could be totally replaced by something else. But because the behavior is subsidized, we get more of that behavior. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a valid argument, but I look at it from that economic perspective. It's one of the rules of economics is about subsidized behavior. You always expect more of that subsidized behavior when it's subsidized, right? And, yeah. And that's what roads do for us.
Yeah, there's no telling what would have been developed in the absence of
yeah.
internal combustion engines, because the first car ever made was an electric car. So,
yeah,
you know,
and then you have GM that was bailed out. They were going to go out of business, you know, and they were bailed out under the Obama administration. And I'm a GM guy. I got a Chevy truck. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, whatever. But I mean, I've always been kind failed. Of a Chevy guy, but it failed. The yeah. company failed. And we've missed the opportunity, at least in that point right there. We don't know what could have been. Yeah, 2,500 out of work auto workers is sad. That's unfortunate, and I don't want to dance on anybody's, you know, misfortune.
Right.
But you know, necessity is a mother of invention, bro. We don't know what we passed up, what we missed out on by allowing that dying company to stay in business. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad thing, and it's always really funny when people want to bring up the who will build the roads. I'm the worst person to argue against this because I'm a civil designer. My roads are literally my job. So
that's what you do.
I was like, yeah, you know, I design these roads all the time. And you want to take a guess how many miles of private roads I've built for plants and, you know, wastewater treatment plants and everything, because they all need roads inside of there.
Yeah.
For trucks and everything. So, I mean, really, it's just concrete and rebar and trying to make sure that the rain doesn't stay on it when it falls on it.
Yeah.
It's not all that complicated.
Just build just a little bit of a crown on it, right? Just kind of let it roll off.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just, you know, especially in Louisiana, just make sure you have a storm drain next to it so it'll catch all of it. But that's another discussion for another day. But, yeah, it's always so funny. I was like, and then I like to throw it, and I was like, by the way, thorium, you can have a reactor fueled by thorium, and you can shield all of its radiation with aluminum foil. So you could literally have a thorium reactor sitting in the back of a truck, powering the truck for 100 years. But that's a little bit too outside the box for some people, I guess.
Not for me, bro. I'm in.
Yeah. And just, you know, if it's working for a car, you know, do we really need coal, fire, power plants? Producing electricity for a house.
Oh, I said that for a while. I don't know if you are ever, you know, if we're talking about power and we're talking about clean energy and we don't talk about nuclear power at all, we're just not being honest, you know, at all.
No, right? They definitely want to sit on the no nukes. And it's like, well, guys, come on. It's the one of the cleanest things we got. Oh, radiation. I was like, yeah. And it's all shielded in the plant.
And yeah. You know, I used to be in the Navy, right? Like, you know, I've been around nuclear powered ships and stuff like that. And you know, there's a big difference between nuclear explosions and nuclear reactions, right? Like,
right.
Of course an explosion is a reaction, but I mean, like you have a nuclear reactor that creates electricity and power. And then you have a nuclear explosion, which wipes people's, you know, which blow, you know, we all know what that is. It blows everything up, but it's not the same thing, you know? The amount of energy that is created by a nuclear plant, you know, compared to the amount of waste that's generated, you know, is astronomical, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. And so we're so afraid of something like that. It's stupid. I watched a nuclear power plant go, you know, basically get shut down in my childhood because of a vote that the people went, you know, had and ran them out of business. I guess I don't know if it's called out of business necessarily, but it was, you know, they shut down the nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
And it's still there. It's still there. It's just that it's not being run.
Yeah.
And so then in California, you have all these rolling brownouts and you have all these nuclear power plants that are just sitting dormant.
Yeah. Could be used.
Slowly being dismantled, because you can't dismantle them quickly. They have to be dismantled slowly.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a process. And,
there's a process. And so the power's there. They just refuse to use it, you know?
Yeah. And that's also like desalinization plants in California. You know, they don't want to use those either. I was like, well, we got all this fresh water in Lake Mead. I was like, yeah, that you, Nevada and Arizona are all using too. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's, and so be the guy from Northern California and see that water being taken. You know, California's in a perpetual drought. Every time you turn around, somebody's talking about the drought in California. But, but then you look at the Sacramento San Joaquin Valley and how green it is. And then you look at like the mountains, the Sierra Nevada mountain range and all the snow and all the great, you know, the green trees and everything. You wonder, how is it a drought? But then it's a drought because you built one of the biggest cities in the country in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
Right. Like Los Angeles shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a desert. And then,
don't do it.
And then you take all the water from the places that have water and you put it in the, you know, and the aqueduct system, and it takes it all the way down to Southern California. Well, California's, you know, you have too many people for the water.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that there isn't enough water. It's just there's too many people. If we would just, you know, and you're right about the salinization plant, the desalinization plants, they should be able to operate that at the coast and leave the farmland alone up north. But
yeah. I mean, you know, how else does Saudi Arabia get water? I mean, before that, it was nomadic tribes that would go from one oasis to another.
Yeah.
You know, in search of fresh water. I was like, oh, we just build these machines and it takes all the salt out of the water and then we can sell the salt.
Yeah. How do you think ships get water at sea?
Yeah.
You know, they make it.
Yeah, they desalinate.
They make it from the ocean. There's an unlimited supply of water if you know how to process it. You know,
it's just the trick of just getting all the salt out of it, and then there you go. And then you've got a product that you can sell on the side.
We've solved all the world's problems just now. You know that, right? Like you and I, they should just
pay us.
You know what it is? It's not that there shouldn't be government. It's that we should be in charge of the government. The two of us.
Yes.
We have no problems whatsoever.
You and I both could work from the inside to change it. And, well, I think solving all of the world's problems is probably a good place to leave it off. And we can always pick this up again on another episode. But Q, why don't you go ahead and drop whatever plugs you got?
Okay. So, you guys can listen. I'm Q the Abolitionist and I got a podcast too with my good buddy Crypto Gumbo. It's called Unshackled Liberty. You can also find me on Twitter mostly at Q_Abolitionist is my name. And my buddy, is at Crypto Gumbo. So, that's what I got, dude. I do have also a Facebook account, but it's mostly just kind of, I try to stay off of the Facebook stuff because it's the type of sewer that Twitter can be. It's like 100 times worse on Facebook because I think the character restrictions on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can only say so much garbage, man. You know, like
Facebook, you can write a novel and reply.
You could.
I mean,
yep. Yep. Yeah. So I try to stay off of that, but I'm there too. So thanks for having me on, man. I had a good time. This was a good chat.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a long time coming. I've always wanted to get, all the rest of the podcasters on it at some point. So it's right definitely on, fun. Get Thank to you. Talk about some West Coast stuff, hacky sack.
Absolutely. We need more hacky sack. That's for sure. We need to hang on to that one.
Break the kids' brains with buck and everything. So, I mean, quite literally. So, all right, Q, man. Take it easy, man.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, man. Thanks.
Bye. Yeah, bye. All right, folks. And there he goes. Q the Abolitionist. Such a great talk. That was great. So if you want to find all those links, I'll have them down below in the show notes because you're reading the show notes, right? Wink, wink. But also, if you look down there in the show notes, you will find some other goodies. You will find all of the different ways that you can support this content creator. You know, I've got the Patreon, the Subscribestar, Float. I've got a Cash App, PayPal. You want to buy some merch? You can do that. I got a Teespring store. I got all kinds of t-shirts on there. One that has generated a lot of interest on there. But I haven't seen any sales from it yet. It just says a shirt that just says political atheist on it. Yeah. So if you want to get that shirt, you can head on over to my Teespring store linked down below in the show notes. But otherwise, guys, take it easy. We'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause out.